commentator that said regarding Moses that he was the greatest man among mere men in the whole history of the world. The greatest man among mere men in the whole history of the world. And as you read your Bible and you look at the details regarding Moses, you would find it very difficult to argue against that statement. He was surely a remarkable man in his service for the Lord. But it's important, I believe, this morning that we remember all of his life. Many people would say that you can divide the life of Moses into three sections or three eras. And someone said that he spent the first 40 years as a prince in the palace learning to be somebody. And then he spent the next 40 years as a shepherd away at the backside of the desert, looking after the sheep there, learning that he was nobody. And then he spent the next 40 years leading God's people and serving the Lord in a most remarkable way. And I think those are fairly accurate divisions in the life of Moses. The first 40 years he learned to be somebody. The next 40 he had to learn that he was nobody. And then the following 40, well, we know the remarkable leadership that he showed during the wilderness wanderings with the people of Israel. In his earliest years, his mother would have been by his side. I think that I intimated last week that this was key in all of his success. His mother was there. You know the story where he was found in the bulrushes by Pharaoh's daughter, and the person that was called to look after him was indeed his own mother. Now he lived as Pharaoh's daughter's child. That is very obvious, because it says there when he was come to years. This was not until he was 40 years old. So for all of those years before that, he had no doubt as an individual been close to Pharaoh's daughter. He would have been well cared for. In fact, he would have been cared for in the very best possible way regarding material things and other aspects of life. It says in the book of Acts in chapter 7 and verse 22, "And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds." He was a man who, in the palace years, he excelled, and he drew honor to himself, and we believe that he had the respect of many of the people there. On a human level, people would give an awful lot to be just where he was. He had all the riches he would ever need. Plenty of other things around him too, that if he wanted he could have. Wasn't all good. But nonetheless, he was in a situation where he was indeed honored. But then he did something which probably no one else in the palace could understand or appreciate. For when he was about 40, he separated himself from the people there. A most outstanding way for him to take a stand for the Lord. Now, he wasn't everything that God needed him to be. We know that through his early effort at Reformation, completely failed. And he had to go out and train for 40 long years as a shepherd, to learn humility and to be one who could be instructed by the Lord and be prepared for that time when the Lord would use him to lead the children of Israel. Now, we do believe that there would have been many tears from her to whom he owed so much on a human level, not merely his mother, but the other girl, that is Pharaoh's daughter. And here he was. He just wanted, perhaps his mother was passed away at this time. I don't know for sure. But I know that he got up and he left. He separated himself. And no one in the palace circles would be able to comprehend such a mood. A mood you can understand yourself how. Here was a young man who came to them as a baby. They watched him through childhood into young manhood. And now in the prime of his life, he's just saying, "I'm going. I don't want anything more to do with this. I'm going to go. And I'm going to separate myself. And I'm going to stand for the Lord." In verse 24 of Hebrews 11, you see very clearly that Moses became a refuser. He became a refuser. And his refusals were very significant. We've already mentioned some of the things that would have been his. And I do believe that when he made this decision, that he would have sent shockwaves through all that would have known about him. But Moses, brethren and sisters, he separated himself for very good reason. For very good reason. You see, he separated himself from the ways of Egypt. Egypt in the Bible often is used to be symbolic as a type of the world. And all that which is ungodly and against the Lord and would be against the person and work of Christ. So it is today. And it seems that very often now preachers are preaching again on separation. We heard some details on Friday evening from the Reverend Greer when he was preaching in another portion regarding that very thing. And it is ultimately that honor might be brought to the Lord. You can see that from the verses here in the life of Moses, that he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. He'd weighed it up well. He'd weighed the whole thing up and he'd come to a very wise conclusion. And folks, today, the world, we mentioned the other day, whether it was in the prayer meeting or here, I'm not sure, but we mentioned it somewhere, that the world wants our children. That is true. But they also want your allegiance. They want you to learn their ways. They want you to be one that is seen to be going in the flow along with them. And it's not an easy thing to stand out to be different. But when you've as much going for you on a human level as Moses had, it's a lot more difficult. I want this morning to look with you then. The title is, Moses Says No to the World's Ways. Moses Says No to the World's Ways. I want you to notice, first of all, Moses' priority. We do believe that he was not unthankful, or indeed rebellious towards the young lady who had rescued him from the river, Pharaoh's daughter, and had taken a great interest in him, we believe, all of his days, until he was 40 years old. And he couldn't really be ungrateful for her for what she had done, but if you look in Hebrews 11, verse 24, you will see there was nothing to do with rebellion or ingratitude or any of those things. It says there, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You see, brethren and sisters, he loved the Lord. And to be living in obedience to the Lord and to be seeking to honor the Lord and to know what it was to be especially blessed of the Lord, that blessing that comes through obedience to him, was something that was of the utmost importance to him. And that shows us the reason for his action. It was his love for the Lord. His priority was to honor the Lord in his life. No matter what you and I do, whether it's in the area of a pastime, or in our family, or in God's work, or in any other area of life, whatever we do, there is something that drives us. There's something that motivates us. Some of you will know people who are involved in perhaps with companies or business and so on, and part of their responsibility will be to be in charge of motivation. Let's say it's a chain of stores, and you have a man or a lady, and their job is to be in charge of motivation, and they'll go around the different stores, and they will be very much clued into exactly what is happening, and when motivation is needed, it will be their job to give it. And to motivate the people. You see, in all that we do, there is something that drives us. But when you look around you in 2014, let's just look across our own country. There's very much that is motivating people to live in a way that brings terrible degradation to their own lives. And it seems that today has a complete grip upon society. Because it is all stemming from the root of sin. Man following after that which appeals to the flesh, that which is sensual, that which is that which is total wickedness many times. And he's driven to that because of a sin. Well, here is a man, Moses, he was raised among the heathen in the palace. Every imaginable entertainment was to be found there, and every so-called pleasure. There was glory for him, there was prestige for him, but the secret of his putting God first in his life, again, was his mother. She was the salt and the light in his life. All through his early years, we have no doubt about that, and that which he learned, while he was greatly learned in the ways of Egypt and taught in that way, it's indisputable that his mother taught him those things that mattered the most. She had left an imprint upon this young man that was deep and real and was of substance and would affect him and how he would react in later years. Brethren and sisters, those of you who teach boys and girls, don't underestimate the tremendous importance of your work. There's no more important work in all of God's work. I said to someone some time ago, I was speaking to them. I said to them, I feel that if I had my own choice and that going into God's work and I was able to do it, I would really have wanted to be a full-time child evangelist. Now, I can't do it. I'm first to admit that. I have spoke at children's meetings sometimes and so on, but it just, I believe the Lord hadn't put me out for that. But it is such a tremendous work. To get that into the hearts and minds of boys and girls, to get that into their minds, that which will stand them in good stead in years to come. Egypt's all around them. With all its transient pleasures, with all its allurements, with all its offers, its entertainments, with all its friendships. And it's right today to say that the world has very many people, young people and older, eating out of its hand. There is every beck and call. And therefore it is a tremendous responsibility for parents and indeed for those in Sunday school classes and other places to teach young people. And this was Moses' faith that drove him to separate himself. And ultimately that is what drives us to separate ourselves or to separate ourselves unto the Lord. Looking to him and his word and seeing what would be in keeping with God's word and endeavouring by his help that that's the way we're going to live. Set the word of God aside or the preaching of God's word aside. You can't really do that. But he was a man who he decided and his priority was to separate himself for the Lord and to stand for the Lord. Of course, this was not the only occasion in the Bible when this happened. Would you turn, please, to the book of Daniel? Another, I was going to say individual, but there are several individuals there. It's the book of Daniel in chapter 1. We're still thinking here of Moses' priority, that is, to honour the Lord. You will read there in chapter 1 of the book of Daniel. It's very notable when you look at this chapter 1 that people of faith are always tried. They're always tried. If you look there, you see, verse 4, it says, children in whom was no blemish, but well favoured, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, quite a while. At the end thereof, they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel. In those days, names were very significant and they meant something. Well, the name Daniel, meaning God is my judge. Hananiah, meaning God is gracious. Mishael, meaning God is one without equal. And Azariah, which means the Lord is my helper. They're all great names. Just look at the next verse. Unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, unto Hananiah of Shadrach, unto Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Here was a very, what turned out to be a very dangerous situation for Daniel and for his young comrades, when they decided that they were not going to be defiled with the king's meat. If you look at the word defile there in verse 8, it is a word that means to completely pollute oneself. And it also carries the meaning of that which is profane. And again, Daniel, very quickly, he weighed up the situation here and his boys that were with him, and they determined that they were not going to defile themselves with this. It says there that he purposed, the word purpose means to set your mind very sternly, or to resolve that you're definitely not going to do something, or you are going to do something. There was going to be no budging as far as Daniel and his friends were concerned. And they were taking their stand here for the Lord, brethren and sisters, that they might not defile themselves with the portion of the king's meat. What a stand they took. You know, perhaps, other details of the story and how the Lord honored them in the end for their stand for him. Now, so it was with Moses. He knew what was in Egypt. He knew what the way that people lived. He knew all about the ungodliness and the sin that was all around him. And he, we believe, was one who did keep himself in communion with the Lord. And when he come to of year, when he come to 40, he made the conscious decision, I'm not going to defile myself with this. And he was just like Daniel and his young men that were with him here. He wasn't going to be involved with that which would pollute him and that which would be profane. In other words, he was going to take his stand for the Lord. Of course, we're familiar with the other story over there in the book of Genesis. We looked at it before. It's always good to look at it again. It was Joseph, and he was greatly trusted. And you know that Potiphar's wife was interested in him. And it says in verse 10, and it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day, constantly this woman, we've no reason to think that she wasn't attractive, and she was constantly speaking to him, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. The word fled there means to flee as you would flee from an enemy. He didn't stroll out. He ran. He realized the situation here was extremely dangerous for him. It came to pass when she saw that he left his garment in her hand that she fled and was fled forth, that she called unto her the men of the house and so on. She saw here, being the sinister person that she was, that she could destroy him. But you will notice in the successive days in the life of Joseph here that he never took the opportunity to have a go back at Potiphar. He was a man who was very much in touch with the Lord, and he was able to say, even though he'd been thrown into the dungeon and treated in a most inhuman way, and a very, very unfair way, we might add, but that's the way of the world, of course, and he was able to say on another occasion that God meant it for good. He meant it for evil, even concerning his brothers, throwing him into the pit. He knew what it was to be wronged, brother. But he was a man who, through it all, through being wronged with it by his brothers, being wronged by this girl, he was a man who determined that he would not defile himself. He would not defile himself. Who would have known? Maybe nobody. But God knew. And that was what Joseph cared about. You see, God knows us as no one else does. And in 2014, it is as though, generally speaking, out in society, it's as though God was dead. And it doesn't matter what you do. And if you do anything that is wrong, you will always find a good number of people to support you, to encourage you, to offer you more wrong. You notice in the life of Joseph, he had one opportunity after another to go to the left or to the right, as someone prayed in the prayer meeting this morning. He didn't do that. He kept his eye on the Lord, and so did Daniel and his friends and brethren. So did Moses. So did Moses. And Moses' priority was to honor the Lord. And you and I, all through our lives as Christians, we're constantly having to say no to the world. Constantly having to refuse what they offer. Some years ago, there was a gentleman who's a preacher in a fundamental church, a very good church in another country. And he was just a small congregation and small work. And he'd been somewhere, and one of these big time, big style evangelists noted him being there. They came over to him. And you know what he said to him? This man had his own private plane and all, this big time evangelist. He said, "Listen, forget this fundamentalism. Come with me and I'll make you." Think about that for a moment. You're just in a small church. You're never going to be a wealthy man. You're never going to know what it is to be praised by the multitudes. And here's a man, he has thousands coming to the church. There's no substance to his ministry because he's cast aside fundamentalism. And he says, forget fundamentalism, come with me and I will make you. Now, to the human way of thinking and to human reason, that appeals. Didn't appeal to that man, of course. He says, I don't want me. I just want to serve the Lord. And he had his priorities right. And in 2014, folks, and as we go through the year seeking to serve the Lord, it's very important every day that we're determined to get our priorities right. Just like Daniel did. He wouldn't defile himself. Just like Joseph did, he fled. Just like Moses did, he refused everything that Egypt had to offer him. And the world may come along to you and offer you very much in the way of praise. And you know, in days of austerity and so on, it's very easy to embrace what you're offered. Very easy. But if we want to honour the Lord, then we must have our priorities right, like Moses. Notice secondly here concerning Moses and him saying no to the things of the world. We notice here that there was a loss sustained to Moses as many would see it. Now I've already touched on that. I'm going to mention it to you again. If you look there in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 24, he was refusing to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. In other words, he was distancing himself from the royal family. Here was a man of character. Josephus, some of you will know, was a Jewish historian, a very, very reliable one. And he, as a historian, noted that Pharaoh didn't have any other children. And this daughter, she didn't have any children either. So therefore, in a few years' time, Moses was in line to himself become the next Pharaoh. People today just love that. They will peddle out spin and lies and half-truths and do almost anything just to get a position. Because position has a very serious appeal to the flesh. But Moses looked upon it all. He said, well, this is just transient. I'm above this. You see, he was a man who displayed great nobility of character. But in the eyes of the world here, he was a fool. He was turning away from it all. And many, many people could intend to be like Moses and then turn around and say, after all, I might take it. What thanks am I going to get? I might as well have all that I've been offered. Get no thanks for going out and helping them. The story of those who've been involved in sport and have taken their stand for the Lord and wouldn't run on Sundays and wouldn't do various things on Sundays. But a few years ago there was a very good runner and they refused initially to run on Sundays. And then eventually they give in. And they run on Sundays. And the sport, nothing wrong with the sport, is good. It's great that they got to that level. I know a fellow, he's actually, I'll tell you who he is, the Reverend David McClellan.
who's a minister in our New Hampshire church in Manchester over there below Boston. He's actually coming over to speak at the conference in June, or one of the nights at the big conference down in the Martyrs there. And he was very, very good at ice hockey. Really good. Extremely good at it. And he went as far as he could go, and he got to what they call county level, but he was able to go beyond that. But the problem was that if he was going to go beyond that, then he'd have to play hockey on Sundays. I'm not going any further. This is as far as I go. Took a stand, took a principled stand for the Lord, and turned his back upon going an awful lot further as far as ice hockey was concerned. We know that as far as ice hockey and basketball and several other sports, Americans love that sport. And if you're good at it, you become a name. And you can have different bits of equipment and so on with your name and that, and all of those things. But he had his eye on the Lord. And he thought, well, in the eyes of the world, I might lose something here, but I'm not doing it. I saw a documentary one time, or maybe it was a DVD, regarding, probably a DVD, concerning people who had left the Jehovah's Witness cult. Some of them had left in the most remarkable circumstances. There's one man, and he had been, showed him on top, and he's just an ordinary fella to look at. And he said, what did it mean for you to leave? Well, he said that my parents, who were elderly, they told me I was getting nothing. And he said that meant that I was losing out on $4 million. $4 million he wasn't going to get. But he was rejoicing in the Lord. So easy to say, well, maybe I'll pretend that I've sort of gone back a little bit and maybe not be so separated in my stand for the Lord. I could do with the money after all. He wasn't like that. And folks, many at that level of money, they think of power, they think of honour, they think of all that you could do. And it appeals to us. But here was Moses, and he wasn't just going to throw his character and his testimony out the door. And folks, that's what the world wants you to do. To throw your character and testimony out the door and to chase after what it has to offer and to embrace what it offers and to think, well, what an achievement have I made. There's nothing wrong with achieving, by the way. We're speaking here of the sins of pleasure. All that the world has to offer. There are some great people in the Bible, and they were so great for a time. I've mentioned Asa on numerous occasions, but I was reading about him this morning and how well he had done as a reformer. A remarkable man from his youngest days. And then the time came when his back was to the wall, and God, who had honoured him so many times in the past and helped him, well, he got to that point, you know the story, where he turned to his enemy. And the man was not his friend. But the man realised that befriending Asa would raise his profile. And in doing that, it was the end of Asa. Asa died a broken man. A bitter man. And there were some people come to him. A prophet came to him and he told him, he says, you should have relied upon the Lord. And he took them and cast them into prison. It's very easy to look at Asa and say, well, what a fool was he to do that. But it would be very easy to go down that road. And to think of all that the world has to offer. Well, Moses was one here and he turned his back upon royalty. How many could do that? Folks, we need to turn our back upon the sins that the world offers to us on a plate. Notice something else here. He would have turned his back upon all of the amusements that have been found all around him. Verse 25 of Hebrews 11. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Where it says choosing there, it means to select. It's an actual act of, again, weighing things up and reaching out and taking something which you see to be the best. It was a very deliberate thing. He wasn't interested in their pleasures that lasted for a season. You see, he had come to that realization, yes, there's plenty of pleasure in the palace, especially for me as a prince. But it's only for a season. There's nothing to it. Paytime will come and there will be a price to be paid for sin. It will bring hurt, heartbreak, and it will haunt you. And Moses wanted nothing to do with it. today again the world calls out to the young on every hand and to others as well. Follow us and we will do thee good. The amusements held no attraction for him. The royalty held no attraction for him. You see, Moses knew that Egypt's enticements were not for the Christian. They were not for the Christian. And I know that saying not today is looked upon in a very negative way. Oh, don't tell me what to do. I'm not telling anyone what to do. I'm speaking to myself and I'm learning from the example here of Moses that there are certain things that I should not do. That's what. If you look with me, please, there in the book of Ezekiel. Book of Ezekiel, chapter 36. An unfortunate time here. The Israelites, on one of their numerous occasions of being disobedient to the Lord and lived in rebellion against him, it says in verse 19 of Ezekiel chapter 36, "And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries. According to their way and according to their doings, I judged them." Then look at verse 20. "And when they entered unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name, when they said to them, these are the people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of his land." Now, you will see here that we have before us people who had great blessing and privilege, but also great responsibility. It seems here that that which was to be offered among the heathen held great attraction for them. It says, when they entered in among the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name. The word profane is an interesting word. It is a word that means all of that which is outside the temple. That's what it means. That which is outside the temple is a word that refers to that which is irreverent, that which is gross, that which is on the coming for those who are children of the Lord. And that's what it means there when it says that they profane my holy name. In other words, they drag the Lord's name down in the gutter, and even the unconverted are able to say, these are the people of the Lord. Dear young person and older person, don't think you'll get a pat on the back from the world for quoting it. Because you'll not. It will ultimately bring disappointment and heartache. Think of someone today who indeed had made a very good start in the Christian pathway for a good while. And then there was, indeed for years. And there was something happened which they should have seen coming. A mile away. Now we can miss things and get it wrong and make mistakes. I'm not saying we can't, but this individual should have seen this coming a mile away, because other people would see it and I was one of them, because I was their friend. And what I have mentioned to you there, that which is irreverent, which is gross, which is unbecoming, and a whole host of other things, they embraced it wholeheartedly. And they were the Lord's. They embraced it wholeheartedly. You see, the amusements held no attraction for Moses. The royalty and all the riches held no attraction for Moses. If you look at verse 26 in the book of Hebrews, it says, "Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." The word "esteeming" there is a word that means to lead before your mind, in a sense that you're going to evaluate something. Again, he was evaluating, he was weighing the situation up here. The treasure in Egypt, we have to say, was immense. It wasn't just, as you would say, somebody who has a few pounds. This was immense. Huge amount of riches was there. And he esteemed the reproach of Christ of greater riches. The word reproach is a word that is connected with verbal reproach. Something being said in an abusive fashion. We don't like that. We don't like people saying, oh, salt's an oddball. Oh, somebody else is a weirdo, or whatever they want to say. They don't do this. They're one of these religious ones. They need to get into the 21st century. It hurts.
And Moses, he looks at the situation, says here, and he lays before the mind. He weighed it all up, this reproach of Christ. And he counted the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. That was a man on victory ground. Brethren, he was on victory ground at that time. Someone said that whatever governs your will can command your love. You know that when a Christian is born again, he's given his mind, that his will that was biased against God is changed. His understanding is enlightened. He realizes he's a sinner. He comes and embraces Jesus Christ and rests upon his redemptive work on the cross. And he's made a new creature in Christ through regeneration by the Holy Spirit. But temptation can have an awful effect upon us. And when we yield to it, we can end up governed by that which we seem to hate at one time. And if that is the case, then we'll love it. We'll love that which governs us. Moses could have enjoyed everything that was in the palace. And as we mentioned, he would have been the top man in due course. But we need to remember Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. All of the riches that we need, everything that we need, God is able to supply all you need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Christian, we need to keep looking to him. In these days when there is so much offered to you and offered to me, it doesn't matter where it seems to be a situation that will bring us power and wealth and all of those things, or will bring us a great deal of amusement, and the world would look upon all of this as awful loss. It's nothing but loss. It's not loss at all. It's nothing but gain. Because I have a final point here. Ultimately, it is this. Ultimately, Moses benefited greatly from saying no. He benefited greatly. He would have gone out of the palace, maybe looked like a pauper. Didn't have two sixpences to rub together. But if you look there at verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, he chose that. And you'll notice there that he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. The thought here is of being estranged. We all like to be accepted. And Moses, with the people of God, was estranged. He was estranged here. But what a blessing it was for him to eventually to be found among God's people and to be found to be worshipping and to be walking and to be working with them. Oh, maybe largely unnoticed, but Christian, never worry about that. Never strive to be noticed by the system of the world, because it'll do you no good. He chose the difficult road, you have to say, when you look at choosing rather to suffer affliction. Sometimes that meant that many friends are gone. There's a shutdown in certain areas of life. That which is a hindrance to holding us back. So whenever he took a stand for the Lord ultimately rewarded him in a most tremendous way. Of course, he was looking for God's leading and blessing in time, but he had an eye on eternity. See the end there of verse 26. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. The word, the recompense there, it means to look away. To look away. He looked away, and there was his faith again. He realized that one day, while the Lord would reward him in time, and the Lord did that, one day he would hear the well done of God. Folks, Moses that I've mentioned this morning, and indeed Daniel and Joseph along with them, these were men who separated themselves unto the Lord. They said no to the ways of the world, and you know the Lord blessed them. It does not mean that they did not live in the world. They were all very useful individuals. And you can be a very useful individual in society around you in a whole host of different ways. But how important it is to say no to the ways of the world. Moses' no was final. Sometimes when he was leading the people, it was extremely difficult for him. Because they thought of stoning him. They tried to usurp his position. They tried all kinds of things. But his no was final. There was no going back to the palace. God honored him. His name is mentioned over 700 times in the Bible.
and I'm preaching about him today. No doubt there are plenty of others in this country who are preaching about him today, or will or have done before, because he's a man who said no to the world. As we read there, it says, by faith Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. May the Lord help us. Give us grace and resolve and encouragement and strength to stand for him in these days and say no to the ways of the world.